Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, positively about to bring it back home for the Orioles here and also out onto the fields at Owings Mills. Luke Jones is here. If there's any breaking news, you'll be getting all of it first on the WNST Tech Service. It's all brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. And of course, our Maryland Crab Cake Tour back after it at Pizza John's on Friday this week. We'll be at Costas and Timonium next Thursday as well. All that brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I'll have the new Raven scratch-offs just in time. Also, our friends at GBMC putting us out on the road. And Farnan and Dermer, they are the comfort guys. Got a little uncomfortable in Boston there, until they scored some runs in the first inning of the second game on Wednesday night. Luke, I don't call you a genius much, even though I think it more often than I say it. We had a trip planned to go to Fenway Park for your bucket list of covering a game at Fenway Park. You wouldn't have covered a game, by the way. The thunderstorms came. Luke begged off of this trip. How many times did I try to get you to do the trip? At least 20, right? Like,
Oh, well, let's not frame it like that. I mean, we both talked about it, but we also both said at the time, if they're still in this malaise of sub 500 and all of that, which, up until the seven game winning streak, it looked awful. I mean, it still doesn't look very
Dude, I had a
good,
free flight in a
but
cheap room. That's all I and decent weather, I
and it was
thought.
also two days coming off a vacation and a week before Ravens start. So like, it's also like a buffer week for me
You
to.
young guys are soft, man. I mean,
Yeah, I'm
you know.
soft because I'll be doing double duty for the next 5 weeks. But yeah, no,
I
it's
didn't
all
chase
good.
a
I mean,
five-year-old and a two-year-old last week
right,
either at the beach.
exactly. But no, I mean, it's it ended up working out well because Tuesday's game was postponed and they play a doubleheader on Wednesday, and I believe our flight back was early Wednesday, right? So we
It
wouldn't have seen
was.
anything. So it wasn't meant to be, and that's all right. And
It was not meant to be. Kuda, I will never not listen to you again. Not that I've not listened to you in the past, but if Luke cancels a trip, the boat's the Titanic. Get off it, so that's perfect. Is that good?
I hope it's not quite that serious,
Well, I
but
hope the
yeah.
season's not the Titanic. It certainly looked that way going into the second game of the doubleheader. Things did not go well in Boston in the
No.
early going, until they scored some runs.
No, and I mean, obviously it was nice to get the last game, but they're just in a position where, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it's a disaster to lose two out of three to Boston, but you got to win series now, right? I mean, we talked about this. When you have a seven game winning streak and you say, all right, you're on the cusp of getting back to 500, like, you can't let your foot off the gas pedal. I think Boston's another example of this, right? Their 15 game winning streak comes to an end Wednesday night, and the message in that clubhouse has to be, we've got to keep this going. Like, it doesn't mean we need to win another 15 in a row, but
But don't
this
go
can't.
lose two out of three this weekend.
Yeah, you can't go 5-10 over your next 2 weeks, right? I mean, like, you're in a position. The Tigers, who we're going to be seeing here very soon, well, the Orioles are going to be going to Detroit very soon. The Tigers put themselves in such an awful position. Go look at what their record's been since June or June 1st. They played really, really well, but May was such a disaster that the Tigers kind of put themselves in 2025 Orioles position, where you just completely bury yourself. And unless you're going to be unbelievable the rest of the way, and obviously they have the Tarek Skubal decision to be making, it's just really tough. But in the case of getting back to this series, I mean, let's look at the wild card standings. The Orioles are going to be fighting with Boston, and you look at the rest of the teams that are kind of right there. Minnesota, Houston has bounced back since being swept by the Orioles. They've won three straight. You look at Seattle. Cleveland at some point is going to get, that you feel like they have another run in them at some point. They've played better of late, even though they're trailing the White Sox in that division. These are the teams that you're going to have to beat and edge out in these wild card standings. So when you lose two out of three to the Red Sox, it hurts. That's the captain obvious statement. And the other thing I'll point out, even though they're going to have at least a 3 week respite, 3 weeks or so of a respite here, they're 12-17 against the division. They're going to have to win games against the Rays and against the Yankees and against the Red Sox and even the Blue Jays,
Well, they don't
who
get as many
have
chances anymore.
they don't, but my point is, the games that are remaining, they're going to have to beat those teams, you know, to get to where they want to be, right? I mean,
Well,
the
it's all
goal.
nice when you're beating up on the Royals and the Astros and feeling yourself over the weekend, right? Two of the worst teams in the league.
Well, the
maybe
Astros
not
are
in
similar
the
to,
Astros,
they're similar to the Orioles, right? I mean,
certainly
they've got
trending
another.
in the wrong direction when you're getting
Sure.
swept by the Orioles. But I keep going back to our. We did an hour on how bad the defense was Monday. We did literally did 56 minutes, Luke and I, and we did a whole segment on Kyle Bradish and his value to this in being a stopper and taking the ball and ending losing, like on and on and on. They have signs of life, but they had signs of winning 92 games to me in February. So, like when they come to life in these little spurts, I'm going to be more of a doubting Nestor than a, believing Rob Long. It just in a general sense, I've given up on this team several times this year, seven game winning streak or not, and it's because of the deficiencies. But Kyle Bradish is not that, and signing him and knowing he's getting the ball every fifth day, it now becomes even more paramount that he's a top of the rotation starter, right? Like that he can stop a losing streak to get them hopefully back on pace to win three games over the weekend. You'll be down at the ballpark. The Braves are in town. Good team. This doesn't get easier because they had a little
No.
winning streak against bad teams while everybody was asleep around the All-Star break, right? And who's their catcher?
Well,
Have
I
we
was
got
just
to that? Who's their
right. I mean,
catcher?
we kind of buried the lead there when Bisaccia goes on the IL less than 2 days after Rutschman did, which was a week after they lost Blaze Alexander, who's not a catcher but has been very important to their defense, and obviously has been very productive with the bat.
Really, the
So.
versatility of what you're trying to do with a roster, and Buck was great with that, moving guys around and having versatile players. That the Blaze Alexander thing of all the Elias
Curious.
moves, very 22nd man on the roster kind of feeling, in any case, but certainly something that happened in the offseason that I feel like I know a lot about baseball, but I have a lot to learn. That's very Earl Weaver, isn't it? To have that Terry Crowley, that Merv Rettman, that player that you can use, especially in modern baseball. And when you lose that guy, all of a sudden, I already said in Strat-O-Matic, they had fours everywhere. It just depletes everything you already had.
Yeah, I mean, well, just look at the nightcap, and again, kudos to Kyle Bradish. He pitched really well. I thought I was interested to see how long they were going to let him go. It had been what, 11 days since he had pitched. We've talked a lot about his innings and what his workload's going to be the rest of the way. I was actually anticipating and wondering if that would be kind of a you know, they call it a deload, in as it pertains to pitchers, you know, their pitch limit, you know, their workload, whatever. But he threw 89 pitches. He got through six innings. He pitched really well. It helped that he got four runs right off the bat. But let's face it, Wednesday night, you know, you don't want to be swept. You know, if you're swept, all the momentum from the seven game winning streak is gone. You're now at that point, what, five games back from Boston for the third wild card spot. But think about this. They had Christian Encarnacion Strand, Jonathan Rodriguez, and Chadwick Trump in that lineup in the nightcap. It's not how anyone drew it up, right? That's not remotely
Well, let's
what you
talk about who
normally
they don't have
envelope.
in that lineup.
Exactly.
Westberg, Rutschman, Bisaccia, right? I mean, you go through
Blaze Alexander, who's becoming an important player.
organizationally what they'd like to have in that lineup. Yes.
Sure. So, I mean, that's where some of the optimism has cooled here over the last week, or really over the last 4 days, with losing Rutschman and Bisaccia. I mean, think about it. If you're looking for this team's strengths, what do they do really, really well? What positions, where are they really strong on the diamond? It's behind the plate until the last 4 days. And now you're talking about Sam Huff, who, I mean, you might as well put a pitcher up there the way he swings the bat. Seriously, go look at the numbers right now. I mean, he just strikes out, and most of the at bats aren't even competitive. Trump swings the bat a little bit better historically, but is certainly not Sam Bisaccia or Adley Rutschman. So that right there, on the heels of losing Blaze Alexander right before the All-Star break, I mean, let's face it, this team wasn't very good with those guys, let alone now you're talking about a lineup that is not going to have those guys. And, you know, in the case of Alexander, he's out for a while. You hope Rutschman and Bisaccia aren't out long, but I know Albernaz said after I guess it was after game one, he was asked about Bisaccia because he was put on the IL right before game one started, after there had been some, he was non-committal about his availability, but hadn't indicated that he was definitely going on the IL or anything like that. Sounds like he took some swings in the batting cage and it didn't go well. So I'm not saying that necessarily meant that he re-injured the shoulder or made it worse, but it's clear that he wasn't ready to swing the bat. And at that point, you've got to shut him down. But we talked about it a few days ago, even before these guys went on the IL. When you're talking about, and you mentioned with it being a left wrist for Rutschman, you're catching the ball every single time. What impact does it have on your swing? I mean, a wrist injury for any hitter is not good. I mean, even minor, that can linger for a while. And in Bisaccia's case, the right shoulder, I mean, that's his lead shoulder for swinging the bat. I don't think it's something that was bothering him as much throwing, but it could bother him throwing, right? So you hope these are 10-day minimum kind of stints on the IL, but until we see they're back, and not just back, but playing effectively, boy, that really caps, that really hinders your ceiling as a ball club. And that can also affect your pitching, right? I mean, that can affect your pitching staff when you're talking about two catchers. In the case of Rutschman, really good defensively. And in the case of Bisaccia, Trevor Rogers has spoken so glowingly about him. Well, Trevor Rogers isn't going to have Bisaccia behind the plate on Friday night as he opens a series against the Braves. So that was really, I mean, losing 2 out of 3 to the Braves or to the Red Sox, yes, that's disappointing, and they can't be in a position where they start losing series again. They don't have that kind of margin for error, but really, for me, it's much more the Rutschman and Bisaccia news because, unless they're back very, very quickly and they're ready to hit the ground running, I mean, that's just it's two of your best players this year. I mean, it's just that simple. They're two really important players, two of their best players. If there's one thing you hang your hat on about the Baltimore Orioles in 2026, it's they might have the best catching duo in baseball, right? As it pertains to just two guys with that capability on the same team, and now you don't have either of them, and you've got guys that are, at best quad A type catchers right now. So that's really disappointing. And
And
again,
Chadwick Trump came up, and my wife and I were eating a meal at that point. I said, "That's not a big league ball player."
yeah, I
It's
mean.
just not. I mean, no offense. Hey, man, I'm not a big league ball player either. Neither are you.
I mean, he's the kind of guy. He's exactly what he is. He's organizational depth. He's a guy that at Triple A that if he's going to come up and be the backup catcher for a week and a half, when you lose one of your catchers, that's not the end of the world.
Can't have
But
him bat 35 times this week.
Huff's the bigger issue. Trump has at least, and let me be clear, I'm not. We're arguing about being stabbed or poisoned, right? I'm like, which isn't as bad. But I mean, seriously, look at Sam Huff's numbers right now. In 32 plate appearances, he has struck out 18 times, Nestor.
Yeah, this
I
isn't
mean,
Jeff Tackett here. This isn't.
that's like a pitcher going to the plate. So, in contrast to Adley Rutschman or Sam Bisaccia being there on any given night, so it's just that's not great. And the injuries have started to pile up here again, and it's not an excuse. I mean, look at Boston. Look at the guys they're missing right now. So I'm not going to sit here and give them a pass for losing 2 out of 3 to the Red Sox, who have played great baseball. But look at who the Red Sox have been missing as they just tied a franchise record for a winning streak. So, but that said, it's certainly much more difficult when you don't have those guys I just mentioned. So that's where you look at this thing and say, well, you've got to find a way. You need your pitching to be. To continue to be as good as it's been the last 2 months, they need Dean Kramer to pick it up, quite frankly. He wasn't great in his Friday night outing, even though, he kept them in the game, but he was pulled after, he didn't make it through 5 innings, and, gives up 4 runs right off the bat on the first game of the doubleheader. I mean, that puts you
Gave him no
behind the eight.
chance, really.
Yeah, really. I mean, that's just not good enough. I mean, I credit him for at least giving them 6 innings and not getting knocked out in the third inning. And then suddenly you're just scrambling to get through 18 innings of baseball. So I give him credit for that at the very least, but it was a bad start. I mean, it's just that simple. There's no coming back from being down 4-0 as it pertains to making it into a really good start for you. It's just that
You know
ship
what's
has
interesting?
sailed.
Both of the games got out of hand early, but I thought to myself, it's Fenway Park.
You never
It's still
know.
going to end up 10-7. You know what I mean? Because that's the way I feel about Fenway Park, having gone to games there. Luke Jones is here. All right. Off of the Red Sox series for a minute. Not even on to Atlanta because they're not going to play. They get a little respite. They get a little rest here, and they're going to be in and out. Detroit, the Phillies are coming in next week. I did an hour with my buddy Mike Abukdal, who was the assistant PR director of the Capitals in 1985. Gave me my first press pass, and all these years later, I wound up the game with him. He loves Philadelphia sports, and like your brother-in-law and your family, into all the. I do want it. If you want to gift me something nice for wanting to take you to Boston, some little Philly fanatic, little keychain thing. I'm back in love with the fanatic again. So I want to go back to a Phillies game just to see the fanatic. Will they bring him here next week? I'll go to the game. Trading deadline. And the Phillies are in next week, and that'll be the end of it. Trading deadline's August 3rd. It's a Monday. I'll be with Getty and Alex and Annika at the Garden. What would turn them into something that looked like a seller? Because every time I've had a couple of conversations on the air and off the air with how many teams really stink enough to want to sell. There's only, a handful of teams that would be sellers. The Orioles might have been that 3 weeks ago. And I wonder what this week, the real value of these three series that we're about to see against three pretty good teams. I mean, you say that the Tigers aren't good, not playoff worthy. Right now, they're playoff worthy. Right now, they're wild card worthy.
They're
Wild
playing.
card worthy.
I mean, the eyeball test, like they've been excellent since June 1st. They just buried themselves so much that you just wonder if the math is going to. I mean, even as well as they've played over the last 7 weeks, they're still 48-54. Like that speaks to how horribly they buried themselves. Like, go look at their May. Go look at what their record was in May. I mean, they just completely fell apart. But yeah, you're playing three teams that are. Two of them are in a playoff spot, and the Tigers are more desperate than the Orioles right now in terms of winning
Dude, as
games.
an
So,
organizational guy and a guy with no dog in the hunt, and I'm not giving these people any money, and I'm not running down and giving them, I'm buying tickets until my press pass is left behind home plate appropriately right next to yours, right next to Jerry Coleman's. But, like, I don't think they can sell off ideologically like Angelos 30 years ago when he wanted in on Chris Widger and David Wells and, these deals back in the day. That I remember that nobody else remembers, but I remember it. And this is worse. He doesn't have tickets sold. They have tickets unsold that they're trying to sell tickets. They're trying to have a season before they have a strike. They're trying to create a season before the Purple Birds take you out to Owings Mills. And all of a sudden, Jennifer Grandal's down looking for who's in the WNST seat. And Luke's sweating with the oldies and Lamar and Ronnie Stanley and people are gone in 3 weeks, 4 weeks. I don't know how they could sell, but I'm telling you, man, from a media tough guy standpoint, from the prick on the radio every day for 35 years, going back to when Lucchino owned the team, when I got involved in doing this, it wouldn't break my heart. You know what I mean?
what if
It
they sold?
wouldn't break my heart. If they just said, Rutschman gone, Gunner, we're not signing you. The Dodgers are giving us A, B, C, D, E, a left-handed pitcher. Bye, bye. And we're going to go on strike and we're going to come out of this and we're going to start with a bunch of really decent minor league talent again that's going to get here quicker. Not we're going to stink for 100 years. We're going to go raid a couple of shelves here with this smart Michael Elias guy who we really believe in. I don't know, dude, because this is sort of reminds me of the Pittsburgh Steelers, where you want to be mediocre? Really? You want to be mediocre? I mean, he's got all this money into Alonso, you got all this money into Bradish now, and you better get him better help than bye-bye to Rutschman, bye-bye to Henderson. We can't afford this guy. Westberg never worked out. Heston who? Colton who where? Jackson hole in his swing. Like I'm just being honest with you, dude. And I'm not being a prick. And I'm not, this is 2 years of this.
Sure.
And this is failure at a Elias level. Elias should have been fired a long time ago. Like,
Well, I.
seriously, like, if you're really doing this, if Eric Geddie is a real baseball man and really working this and not doing the hot dog race, and Rubenstein's not out on his honeymoon looking for another bobblehead to write a book with, the Whistler. I mean, these people are clowns. They've been here 2.5 years. They are clowns. And I don't know that they know what they're doing or not what they're doing. Elias is the only guy around there that knows anything about baseball. But I'm telling you, man, they could do a lot worse than breaking the whole thing up by next weekend, because the sport's going to shut down in the offseason. It's not going to matter whether they have Gunnar Henderson, who hit 234 with 28 home runs and 68 RBI, whatever it's going to be at the end of the year, if it's not good enough. And I'm with you. I love the aircraft carriers and the 1-1s and all of that. But, dude, it ain't working.
No,
I'm just saying, it ain't working.
I'm not going to sit here and say it works. The only thing I would say about that is, well, if you're going to do that, then Mike Elias, it's tangible proof that it
He
didn't
failed.
work, and
Yeah.
then it should be someone else running them from that point forward. To which I would then say, I'd much rather hold off on trading some combination of the individuals you just laid out with the new guy. Right? Or the new guy evaluates and maybe injects some new
This is why
blood.
I fired him in May, because
Fair
I just
enough.
because we're up on this now.
Well,
He's picked all the young players. He
but
and he
Nestor,
rode with.
who are you going to hire?
I
Right? I mean,
understand that.
I'll continue to go back to
Then
that.
go work harder. I don't quit on
But
that.
who are you going to hire in the middle of the season? You are.
Nobody, if you don't know what you're doing, if you bought a $2 million asset and you have no idea of anything about the industry.
But who are you
Seriously.
going? Are you going to hire? How are you going to hire?
They've had no choice. They've had to keep him.
No, but my point is with that, I mean, you're just in a very limited space. Look, in a vacuum, it's tough for me to disagree with what you just said in terms of, like, look, do they have a run in them that they could get the third wild card spot? Sure. Look at the math. Just look at the
If
math,
somebody's going to
right?
pay me like Adley Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson and Jackson Holliday are hitting 284, like they are producing. Like, if somebody's going to pay me in young players a premium at the deadline where I can get some arms, seriously, like, if you're so smart, Mike Elias,
They
go
need
raid some
bats.
places, because there's nobody out there that's going to be selling, and there's going to be somebody more desperate than you. And I don't know what that deal is, dude. I really don't know. And maybe people are down on Rutschman's banged up and injured. I don't want him. He ain't a 1-1 to me anymore.
Been on the
They would
IL
treat
five
any of these
times.
guys like the next general manager would treat them. The way Jesse Minter is treating Ronnie Stanley and Marlon Humphrey and Roquan Smith. Dude, you're just players. I didn't pay you. I didn't draft you. You're not a lottery pick to me. I didn't trade for the Bears for you. I haven't been up and down the mountain. Like, I didn't lose championship games and to you with you. You're just my left tackle. And around here, Adley Rutschman's the 1-1. And I even bring it up and he scoffs at it. And Holiday, who looks like a little leaguer. He doesn't look like a big league player. He doesn't look like he
Well, I mean,
belongs.
I think that's a bit harsh, but he doesn't look like a 1-1. I would agree with that. I think it's harsh to say he doesn't look like a big leaguer. I mean, because,
He doesn't look like a thriving big leaguer.
oh, I mean, okay.
He hasn't done anything to me to say he sticks.
He's also 22. I
Right. And
mean,
the organization's pulled him along because they've had to. They've had to.
but I think it's harsh, and I think it's hasty to say he doesn't look like a big leaguer. My concern is, he doesn't look like someone who's going to become anything more than a solid big leaguer, which at 1-1, that's still
Okay, so what do
might
you
not.
trade him for? If somebody
Well,
gives you 1-1 kind of value for him and really believes in him,
you think people are doing that at the trade deadline, though?
no,
That's what I'm
no.
saying. Like, to a lot of what you're saying to me, I'll continue to say, these are winter questions. Like, Taylor Ward, Trevor
There ain't going
Rogers.
to be no winter, though. That's part of it, too.
Okay, but like, who's trading for Jackson Holliday right now? No one in a pennant race.
Thank you. Good. Okay, good point.
So that, right. I mean, like,
You're allowed to yell at me and talk me out of the tree.
I'm
And
just,
I'm not even in a
and
tree.
I'm not
I'm in a
even, right.
quandary of there's 9 days left and there's 9 games left. And I don't believe this team's winning anything.
That's fine. Let me go back to your original question, because we've kind of gone off in like four different
And they
directions.
don't
But
have a catcher for the next 2 weeks.
you had asked me what would have to happen for them to be definitive sellers. And again, I'd go back to, You'd be talking much more about Ward. You'd be asking about Trevor Rogers, and Rutschman would be the other. And Jeff Passan just put out a ranking trade candidates, and Adley Rutschman was in there, right? And the thing that I find interesting, I've said this in passing a couple t different times, but and I'll continue to say it. I am very surprised at the this is a large portion of the fan base that pushes back on any notion of trading Adley Rutschman, which I guess I understand from the standpoint of he was the face of the rebuild, 1-1. He has been to three All-Star games, right? I mean, it's not like he's a bad ball player, but has he been the guy that you wanted him to be? Hasn't been since 2000, first half of 2024,
Well, part of
right?
that is nobody else has been that either. And they paid
Sure,
Alonzo to be that.
but
They drafted Holiday to be that. They want Henderson to be that.
I
Like,
hear
in it.
people, but I hear some fans and even some media, quite frankly, express the sentiment like they have no choice but to sign Adley Rutschman long term. And I just kind of ask, like, have we all watched the last 2 years? He was really bad at the plate for a year and a half. If you look at this year now, he's bounced back this year. There's no question about that. He's been much better this year than he was last year in the second half of 24. However, go look at his splits. His overall numbers this year have been buoyed big time by having a monster April. Since then, he's been much more fine than anything else at the plate. He's been really good defensively. Dave, kudos to the coaching staff and some of the adjustments they've made with him. His defense has been as good as it's been at any point. I mean, he's been really good defensively. So that right there, look, I may have just laid out an argument to sign him. However, he's been on the IL 5 times in the last 13 months, and he's going to be 29 years old. I'm a little concerned about that. Now, when I say that, that doesn't disqualify any thinking at all for me on an extension. But I don't know, man. Like, if he wants a 6-year contract extension, I'm not comfortable with that. If it's 3, maybe 4, I can probably live with that. But if I'm being honest and I'm trying to do this in a vacuum, right? And none of these moves are made in a vacuum, right? All these moves have something attached to it, whether it's trying to sell tickets, fan morale, all kinds of different issues. Guys that are more marketable,
The strike
I mean,
preparing?
of course that's there. Yes,
Yeah.
no doubt about that.
Well, that's different than any other year, so I just
But
wanted to point that out.
I
That's all.
guess for me, the notion that the Orioles shouldn't even listen to the idea of if a team's, unlike some of the other names that I mentioned that have disappointed, that you question whether you're going to get great value. If Adley Rutschman hypothetically comes off the IL, what, next Thursday or whenever it is that he's eligible, next Wednesday, and that's still a few days before the trade deadline, he plays, hits a couple home runs, catches 2 games, 3 games before the deadline. Hypothetically, someone could offer up something really, really attractive for Adley Rutschman. You have to listen to it. I think it would be irresponsible whether you want Mike Elias to be the GM moving forward or not, whoever's in that seat, it would be irresponsible to listen to not listen to that. So, but to go back to the question, I mean, it comes down to this. I mean, how did the next 9 games go? If you go 2-7 or something like that, 3-6, then you're back to 6 games under 500, 7 games under 500, 8 games under 500, and like, what are we doing here? You know what I mean? But if I'd love to sit here and say they could go 7-2 or 6-3, and then they're at 500 or a little bit above that, then yeah. But I think the interesting factor here, and you mentioned some of the others, but how about the factor of Mike Elias, auditioning for his job, so to speak? Now, for all we know, ownership has told him, Mike, you have nothing to worry about. You're our guy. Or the phone has gone silent on him, right? Which is kind of what happened with Steve Bisciotti and John
Well, who
Harbaugh
knows
last
how these
year. I mean,
neophyte
who knows? Again,
owners,
I have no
who
idea. We
knows how Rubenstein and Arrighetti are even
don't
getting
know.
along through all of this? Because this is a disaster. I
It's
mean, they
extremely
put
disappointing.
$1 billion each
Yeah.
up into this thing, and
It's
nobody's
gone
running it.
sideways.
The woman who's running the team has no idea what she's doing. They pissed off the people that are already pissed off. The team was in a cellar for a period of time, not a cellar, the cellar, the basement.
But the point is with Elias, if you're not going to sell, you've got to do something then to improve your chances. Right now, does that mean I'm advocating for them to trade for Tarek Skubal? Not really. There are other moves you can still make, especially if you can get a pitcher or a bat, someone that's under club control beyond this year, someone that could help you for 2027, assuming there will be a season at some point next
A
year.
Trevor Rogers deal would
Yeah,
be, you
something
know,
along those lines, right?
yeah.
You know, another outfielder, right? We've talked about the outfield a lot, right? And part of the problem here is I think a lot of teams are looking for a right-handed hitting outfielder because there's very much a scarcity of those in the
We
game
have
that,
one.
so, well, Taylor Ward, but we only, you know, the Orioles have him for this year and that's it, right? And, you know, I don't know if he's necessarily someone I'd look to and say, oh, I want to extend that guy. I mean, if I'm just being honest, but that's, you know, the other side of
By the way,
this
Tyler
is,
O'Neill got hurt the other night too, so throw that in too.
I don't know. We'll see. Albernaz downplayed him getting
Okay.
hurt. Albernaz said it was more they had a lead, left-handed pitcher was out of the game, right? They had brought in Bayo at that point, and they wanted to get O'Neill off his feet because he played the first
They
game.
brought Bayo in pretty quick.
I'll buy that until we see he's not in the lineup over the weekend at all.
Yeah.
Because I will actually say, look, Tyler O'Neill,
He's had a good week.
that signing has been an utter disaster. He's actually been decent over the last 3 4 weeks for the role that he's in, right? Which is not the role that you envisioned
Dude,
or
you were in
anything
a
like that.
DFA and back in May. I hear it.
Sure.
I
So,
hear
well,
you.
and look, part of the equation now with Alexander out, Rutschman out, Basayo out, and the latter two you're hoping not for long, but at least for the next week they're out, that you've got to get some other guys hot, right? They've got to score runs. That's why, like, Christian Encarnacion Strand had a really nice series at Fenway. I have no idea if he's going to continue with that. I'm going to guess no. But point is, if you're going to do this thing where you can at least win enough that you're going to buy and you're going to make a couple additions and try to make a run at it. And keep in mind, the end result is not buying at the trade deadline. The end result is, do you make a play? Do you secure one of the wild card spots or not? You've got a 2+ month sprint left to go. You're hoping that the pitching continues to do what it's done. That's their only chance, but they've got to hit. They've got to swing the bats better. And you're going to need a couple guys to catch fire. We'll continue to talk about it. I mean, Gunnar Henderson, you know, quietly had a pretty nice series at Fenway at the plate. Now, his defense on Monday night was a different story. But are you hoping? Could this be the time Gunnar finally gets going? Finally gets hot? Does Colton Cowser, who's completely stopped swinging the bat again, does he have another 3 week run in him where he goes nuts and can carry them for, you know, a handful of games like we saw him do when they had that, you know, that big homestand where he hit a couple walk-off home runs, right? You go down the list. I mean, it was nice to see Beavers drive in a couple runs in the first inning of the nightcap on Wednesday. Like, you look at this and you say, man, you need some guys to just get hot. I mean, they're going to need Pete Alonso to carry them again at some point in time, right? I mean, he's had some stretches where he's been red hot. You know, the home runs have dried up a little bit for him here of late. He's kind of due to get going again. They're going to need some of that, especially being at way less than full strength right now. I mean, not even counting Westberg. I mean, he's been gone all year, but when you're without Rutschman and Basayo and Blaze Alexander, I mean, that lineup is even more diminished than it was already. And like I said, it's not like they were great with those guys anyway. So, yeah, I mean, the deadline is obviously fascinating in so many different ways, right? I mean, in terms of
In
where they
30
are.
different ways,
Yeah.
literally, right?
And in
Yeah.
terms of where they are right now, where they're going the rest of
I think
the
this
next few
labor thing,
months.
I keep bringing it up because it is the elephant in the room in all of these cases. Say, where does my franchise need to
Yeah.
be during the work stoppage? Financially, structurally, leadership-wise, do I have my general manager? Do I want a general manager? Are we even in the baseball business beginning October 15th? Like, I don't know. I literally. But it has to be discussed because I think it's paramount.
Yeah.
Paramount. And the fact that these guys don't really know what they're doing, these new owners, they've never really been through any of this. There's nothing predictable about how they would react or how the Steinbrenner family's been through this for, you know, three generations. And these guys are just pricks with a lot of money. I mean, literally, that's all they're just dudes with a lot of money who want to play and make bobbleheads. I've seen no sincerity about anything involving these cats regarding civics, community, fans, anything other than we're open for business and we'll pay baseball players, which they paid Bradish this week. So they think that's their job. Great. Somebody's got to sell your sport, Bubba. So off season and the labor situation is so combustible and so unpredictable.
I was just going to say, I mean, I don't disagree with anything you said about having an inexperienced ownership group that has never navigated anything like this,
I
but
think you're a fool if you aren't. I mean, and they're not fools. And believe me, they're not fools. They are navigating all aspects of a 1 week, 6 week, 6 month, 1 year, 2 year. Like they have to have a plan for all of that and know whether they want Adley Rutschman in their organization or out of their organization. And I don't know that they're sophisticated enough, the owners, that they would spend enough time that they'll just do whatever Elias, whatever Mike says. Mike, you run baseball.
And
Mike, you run baseball. I don't know anything about baseball. I'm on my honeymoon. I'm making bobbleheads. I'm writing books. Mike, you do it. You do it, Mike. I mean, I can hear Rubenstein. I don't think Rubenstein's like, Mike, let's have a summit about baseball. Teach me about the inner workings of Major League Base. I don't think David Rubenstein's a goof. Like, as far as I can tell, he could not sit and speak with me about baseball. Now he's owned the team for billions of dollars for 2 years, and I don't think he could sit and talk to me on this show at length about labor, any maybe a widget better than he could 2 years ago, but I just don't think it's where their focus is. That's my point. My point is, if this is Elias's problem until it's not anymore, and then when it's not, to your point, well, who are they going to hire? Well, they don't know anything. They're not involved in the industry, really.
Well,
And that's where Bisciotti did his 5 years of hanging around before he axed Billick and decided he was going to keep Ozzie and everybody, like Kevin Byrne and who Chad Steele was going to be his consigliere. And so, like, you make these decisions, but you have to be around to make those decisions. These guys are not hands-on. And this is a time where, to me, that's going to show. And it's very evident to me, having witnessed this for 40 years on the radio.
yeah, I mean, I look, I'm not going to sit here and stick up for them. The only thing I would say is it's not as though John and Lou Angelos were well thought of when
But
Duquette was
they
in.
were immersed in it.
But they, right, sure. And that's fair. And that's fair.
I
But
could sit.
I guess.
John Angelos was so immersed in it that he was a prick to everybody else, thinking they couldn't possibly know anything about baseball, like Peter Schmuck and me and Dan Connolly.
Right.
People that study this our whole lives. You're not talking to Tom Davis or Rob Long here, and we're giving, these are. I've done this. I've been on the radio for four work stoppages now. I mean, at various points, and in Sarasota, and standing next to Don Fehr, and having Marvin Miller on the show. Like I'm not going to hear it. So if they want to sit and talk to an expert, meet me. Meet me anywhere you want, David, Michael, Katie, any of them. Let's talk about it, because it is going to affect everything about this trading deadline, and then literally everything that happens the minute the season ends. And for them, that might be October 1st, right? They're making playoffs, right? Like, so, and it's not that far off, and they're not in control of it. They're not driving the bus. And I just spent 2 days with nothing but sage sports writers, not Sage Steele, sage sports writers in Philly. I talked to all, I mean, Verducci and I talked 20 minutes. We talked about nothing but labor. I sat with Eric Fisher and had a meatball sub for an hour. All we really talked about was labor. But like I talked to Rosenthal, labor. I talked to Passan briefly. We did not talk labor. But like, when I bring these guys, Evan Drellick stopped me on the courtyard. He's doing a book. And he said, "Hey, labor, get me on." I texted him the other day. He's in Boston. So like, when I have these writers on, this is going to be, it's not going to be player, 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 money, 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 sign, sign, sign. That's going to all go away. I remember this vividly. And that's going to be their new job. And I don't know how they're going to do with that. And I think this is the beginning of that for me, how they manage this trading deadline and their assets to say how we're going to treat the work stoppage, because there is going to be one.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be a matter of how long does it go? One, are games missed? Two, how many games are missed? I mean, like it's that simple. I mean, there's obviously going to be a work stoppage.
I
I
think it's
mean,
how you conduct business in the off season. That revenue, money, subscriptions to this, is this money coming in? Where are your sponsors? And then where is your labor? Because minor leagues, are they going to open for
Well,
business?
I
Do
mean,
you
this
want
is.
more minor leaguers than less major leaguers if the sport is shut down next year?
Well, I mean, I think, but I think a big part of this, and look, I think it was Maury Brown was actually noted this. The thing that might actually save the sport from a truly long work stoppage next year, it might be the TV, the various TV packages that they have in place. And, but because here's the difference. Who's subscribing to Masson if the season doesn't start? You know what I mean? Like in the past, it was baked in the satellite cable.
Oh,
But
right. My dad paid for home team
no, but I'm
sports
just, but I'm
when they
saying, like,
weren't working.
right,
Right.
how many people are doing that unless you are still subscribed to Xfinity or like, various, but cable and satellite does still exist. Not to the degree that it once did, but like someone like me who just buys the season. Well, I'm not buying the season until I know the season is starting, right? I mean, I suppose they could do some discount type stuff and say,
They're
hey,
getting their $2 from me. I got a cable package, so like I'm gonna
right.
have
But I'm just
Masson.
saying that there are way fewer people that are in that camp anymore. So, but I know, and I my apologies for this. Maury Brown did a really good piece that just kind of
I'll
went
get him
over
on this
everything.
week. I'll get him on. I'll
But
grab Maury.
there was another piece that was behind a paywall, and I didn't have the subscription for it, but it talked about some of the different hooks that are in these TV various TV packages that they have. Talking about ESPN and NBC and
Apple.
the Apple, all of those, that it does sound like there might not be, there might be some bigger consequences than you would think if we're talking about going months without baseball next year, right? Where we're talking about the season potentially being canceled or no All-Star game or anything like that. So,
Once they get to St. Patrick's Day, they better step it
mean,
up.
that's the thing, right? I mean, look, they had a lockout 4 winters ago or 3 winters ago, whatever, 4 winters ago. Did it really hurt the sport in any tangible, like, did any fans stay away because the season got pushed back a
Well, look,
week?
you and I don't
No.
spend November, December, January talking baseball around here anymore anyway. We have
And
other things on our mind. You know what I mean?
that's kind of the point I'm making here.
They
So,
can't even have a carnival. They barely have a caravan. They've pissed in their own bucket around here, and that's why going up to Philadelphia, and when I had Micah Buchdahl on, you'll hear it this week. The Phillies are like a real thing. They make money in the offseason. Some of these
Sure.
teams aren't the Pirates and the Orioles, and we can't even gather our alumni to put the convention center on with 1,200 people. To come down and want to stand in line to get an autograph. Like I that thing's deteriorated. So the offseason thing, I would agree with you. It's You and I do it for a living. It's relatively quiet, but from a business standpoint, they can't have it be that way here. They need that, and they need the inertia of having some level of success the next 90 days going into all of that. And that's why selling this week feels like something I would do, but something they're not going to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think either way, I mean, to bring it back to the micro, what are you going to learn about this team in 9 games that you haven't seen over the better part of 2 years now, right? And
They can pitch
obviously,
well, their hitting's going to be inconsistent, and their defense is going to be awful.
the hitting's going to be, underwhelming, especially now without Basayo and Rutschman for at least most,
Yeah,
part of
what do you
these nine
expect? You
games.
take those guys out of the lineup.
So I just that's where it's tough for me. And look, that's not me saying I want to throw in the towel and make like I've already said I'm very much not in line with the idea of any kind of a harsh sell, even if you sell, right? To me, the most extreme would be if someone's offering you a king's ransom for Adley Rutschman, right? And I would have to at least consider that, especially if you've had conversations behind closed doors, and he has no interest whatsoever in signing an extension that's sensible, right? I mean, if he says the starting point is 7 years on an extension, I mean, I'm just like, I wish you well, Adley. God bless you. But that said, at the same time, let's say they go 6-3, right? And they're 500 when they go into that off day, at when the tra on the cusp of the trade deadline. even if you're going to buy, what do you want to completely strip your farm system on something that's not going to be a guarantee? And then you fall short. Mike Elias maybe gets fired, maybe he does. Like, let's assume they go in a different direction. So now a new general manager comes in, and you have an even lesser farm system at that point in time, and still has all these decisions to make about all these members of the young core who have either regressed, never lived up to expectations, still waiting to for the next step, whatever. I mean, it's messy, right? I mean, and it kind of goes back to your original point. I mean, it's nice that they had the 7-game winning streak, but I'm just not a big believer in this anymore. I'm just not a big believer. I don't believe in Mike Elias and the front office. I think they have tried to pivot in some ways over the last year or so. Do I think it's been enough? Do I think there's still too much scar tissue here? Do I think I want to see new blood at the top that maybe can salvage some of these members of the young core? Maybe not. And if not, make some trades and maybe pull off some of these guys still do have value. Like, I'm not talking Heston Kerstad, let's be clear, but like in the winter, if you decided you wanted to trade Jackson Holliday or some team came calling and wanted to give you a really good package because they still really like that guy and they would have drafted him in the
Well,
top
this is the
five.
time to find out who really likes your guys at the very least. Call around and
Yeah.
where is the value? If, 'cause there's nobody here I wouldn't trade. I mean, like,
Well,
literally.
I mean, obviously, other than the guys they've extended over the last, Pete Alonso's not going anywhere. Bisaio's not going anywhere. Bradish isn't going anywhere. Boz isn't going anywhere.
Okay, fair enough. There's your core.
No,
That's okay.
but
I
I'm just
thought
saying.
their core was Henderson, Holliday, and Rutschman, but it's not. It's not.
Yeah, I mean,
And
I
if it
mean,
is, it's dog meat. Go look at their numbers. If that's your core, that's why you're in fourth place. Like, literally. If just look at their numbers, man to man, mano a mano. That's, we're
Rutschman's
bragging on
played.
Blaze Alexander around here. You
I
know what I
mean,
mean? It's sort of like,
Rutschman's had a solid, a really good season. I mean, he made the All-Star team, but he's also been on the IL 3 times now, right? And that's where you look at it and just say, is that something that looks like an investment I want to continue to make long term, right? Not talking this year and through next year. So, I mean, it's tough. I really struggle with where they are in the micro compared to the macro. Like, where is this going? Is any of this good enough? And for me, more and more, the answer just feels like no. I mean, I love Kyle Bradish and I love that extension. But whether Mike Elias is going to be the GM moving forward or not, I think anyone coming in to be the general manager is going to look at that and say, man, Kyle Bradish for the next 5 years, when he's now 2+ years removed from Tommy John surgery, I can get in line with that, especially at that rate. Does Boz have another level? Maybe, maybe not. He's still offered a pretty high floor this year. It's not like he's been terrible. And he's still young enough that,
you feel like Brandon Young's going to be in the rotation next
Brandon
year.
Young, yeah, he's another guy. Let me be clear. Like, I don't know if any team's really coming after Brandon Young anyway, but he's so cheap and has so many years of control. He'd be another guy
You
that,
gotta have one or two of those when you're the
I mean,
Orioles.
even at worst, if he becomes the next Dean Kramer for them, that's still, there's still value in that. But Brandon Young's pitching better than that
He'd be
right
the next
now.
Miguel Gonzalez, and he'd be great.
Sure. So it's not as though there's nothing here. Like, it's not as though the cupboard's entirely bare. I don't want to make it out to be like that. But at the same time, this was supposed to be like, think back to 2022 when they sold at the trade deadline. Mike Elias may not have said it specifically, explicitly laid it out there, but the mindset at that point was 2022 is not the prime years of our window. That's 25 and 26 and 27 and 28. Like, this is supposed to be the prime years of that. And yet look at what it is, right? They're not even in a wild card position in an American league that's painfully mediocre this year, right? You can keep talking about like this year and where they are right now, but that's not a reflection of that they're in a good position moving forward. And that's what's so disheartening about this. And that's why,
Nothing has a bullet going up in this organization
I
right
mean,
now. None of it.
individuals, some individuals do, sure.
Messiah.
But
Oh, okay.
yeah, no, but I'm just saying, like, it's not all. Brandon Young's a major upward arrow compared to what we thought he was going to be back in spring training,
But the
even.
things that need to
But
be upward arrows
yeah,
are
I mean, it's a lot of stuff that just
Rutschman,
looks
Holiday, Henderson. Rutschman, Holiday, Henderson. Now let's keep
more than
going
that. I
back
mean,
to
it's
that.
Cowser. I mean, like, go down the list. I mean, it's just Westbrook can't even get on the field, let alone seeing what he can do, right? I mean, it's Heston Kjerstad's at AAA. I mean, think about it. They called up Jonathan Rodriguez, and I get it, he's a right-handed hitter. But when they put Pasayo on the shelf, they didn't even call up Heston Kjerstad, right? There was a school of thought. If you liked what he was doing at Norfolk, you call him up and he could be your DH most days.
Well, he can
Or
be in September if they're
I
going to
mean,
stink.
no, but my
You know what I
point
mean? If they're
is,
going to stink and not be in the race, this is a chance for them to do all of that.
but for me, I think that was an indication of where they think he is right now. Like,
Not good enough.
not even at AAA, he's not doing enough of what they think would play at the major league level, right? So it's just, I'm just so meh about all of it, right? And that's where, like,
Well, it's
and that,
football season. Thank God for that for
but I'm
you.
just saying that doesn't make for good radio in terms of the buyer seller thing. But like, I'm not really enthusiastic about either of those options right now because I just don't know what they can really acquire at what cost to truly give themselves the best possible chance. I mean, there are no guarantees at the trade deadline, there just aren't. But what can they really do, and how much does that really move the needle for them? And on the flip side, okay, you trade away Taylor Ward. Do you really think you're getting anything that's really, truly going to put you in great position for the future? I mean, maybe you get lucky, but Taylor Ward's not, like, you're not getting the number five prospect in baseball for Taylor Ward. You know what I mean? Like, you're not getting anything like that. I mean, he's a 2 month rental of a guy who's had, great on base skill this year, but his power's largely evaporated. I mean, and Wednesday night's game notwithstanding, where he actually did make a couple nice plays in the field and did a nice job, it's not a great defensive outfielder, right? So you're talking about him. Trevor Rogers, is there a scenario where they can extend him? You could, I suppose. I would say this: if you extend him, then I kind of feel like your rotation's pretty locked in moving forward in terms of big ticket items, right? Because at that point, long-term money pumped into Boz, Bradish, and Trevor Rogers, if you were to do that. Now, again, I'm not saying I wouldn't, but then, okay, you better be able to develop some other pitching. And they've got some pitchers at AAA, and they've got
Somebody's gonna
some
deal
pitch.
for Scooble next week.
Sure, but that's a rental, right? I mean, Scooble's, no one's acquiring Scooble and signing him before he hits the market, right?
Right.
I mean, so that's just the reality. One, how much are the Tigers going to command? Two, how much is the team willing to give up?
For
I
10
don't,
starts,
I
right?
certainly don't expect the Orioles to be in the Tarek Skubal business. I just
Right.
don't,
Yeah.
right? I mean, and I'm not even saying they should be, per se, for what I actually think it's going to cost. I mean, it'd be really fun. Like, if they do, I'm not going to sit here and complain. Let me be clear. But,
Yeah, if they had six more wins, it'd be different. We'd feel
and
differently
that's the
about them.
thing. I just don't think they're very good. Like,
Yeah.
and like, a 7-game winning streak didn't change my
There
mind about that.
hasn't been a minute, in 3 months we felt that way. All
Yeah.
right, football ahead for you. Put your little purple hat on for next week and get your suntan lotion out and your SPF. Football's here. Baseball is here this week in Brazier Town. Luke will be down at the ballpark. The Phillies are in next week. My buddy Micah came on and did a long piece. You'll hear that. I'm going to chase all these baseball people around before the trading deadline next week. Some yeses, some nos, some maybes, and we'll get into football season as well around here. Meantime, doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on Friday at Pizza John's in Essex, next Thursday at Costas in Timonium. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Also, the new Raven scratch-offs, the $2 scratch-offs. They're kind of cool. They have the kiss face on them, so they're my favorites. It's my favorite logo. And also our friends at GBMC and Farnan and Dermer. Any breaking news in and around the trading deadline comes first on the WNST tech service. As always, we're 20 years into it. It's all brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. At some point, I will shave, bathe, and get ready for Geddy Lee to approach the Big Apple next week and get ready for football season. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive.